Pray that you'd bless the time we spend. We're thankful for the wonderful times we've had in your word already. And we trust it'll be a good day. And that you'll be glorified. We'll be able to love one another. That's one thing about the forums. We have no excuse when we get together, but to keep that new commandment and to love one another in it. Thank you so very much. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, I told you we're working lettuce. And the lettuce is a first person with subjunctives. We're working on present tenses as we work along out of Hebrews. I mentioned that I had found this thing from 1961 with the, in fact, the heading on it is Let's Plant a Garden. And the first two lines are, let us labor for Christ, let us love one another. So a couple of them are related to some of where we are, not in this passage. So he's had four rows of lettuce, then he had four loaves of squash. And you can see there are certain kinds of pastors that do this. You know, squash unconstructive criticism, squash evil in all its forms, squash the mention and rehash of any unpleasant past, squash all obstacles to the growth and spirituality of our church. So that was a row of squash. The other squash was turnips. And again, you see this is what they, how they use it. This fellow used it. Turn up in the Sunday school and worship service regularly. Turn up for Sunday evenings and business meetings. Turn up especially at prayer meetings. Turn up at all calls for his service. So four rows of turnips. Then four stands of bees. Be friendly and thoughtful, be faithful, be optimistic, be happy, be a happy and sacrificial giver. Sounds like a typical Baptist church, doesn't it? No, I say that. Well, you got to have giving in there, don't you? Isn't it more fun to function as a priest? I mean, it's just great to be able to do that. So, anyway, I've pulled that out of my briefcase and thought I'd read them just so we'd have them. Okay, where we are, we left off at on page 11. There's that summary overview on the top of page 11. Like I say, there I put these things in here. If you're interested in study and review, you've got an instant setup for four different messages out of here, and that's moving awful fast. This is faster. The inauguration of a new and living way, and it doesn't have that first person plural subjunctive that we've been looking at. And you say, why did you put it in here in the list of them? Well, there's a good reason. Because if you don't have a justification for getting on board, then it's not worth it. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verses 10 through 20, we have the reason that we want to follow Paul's admonition to come along with him and let us and to be in the lettuce patch. And so when we look at this, it works out as a good introduction. I hadn't planned it quite that way. Because my header is the inauguration of a new and living way by the cross work of Christ. We can get on board. This morning, I have to share something. I shouldn't waste time. Turn my radio on. And years ago, I ran into, something happened and I had to change my shower radio. I always listen to the radio when I'm in the shower. That may be the only time I listen to the radio anymore. And I was listening to this pastor, and he was online, and he preached a message that was 95% good. And I'm listening and listening and listening as I was listening to him, and then he got right near the end, and I heard some buzz. It wasn't a bad connection. Well, maybe it was a bad connection. And the buzzword I heard was rebound. You need to rebound. And I thought, no, we're not playing basketball. But I know who uses the word rebound. And where the people that were trained under a certain man, and that was Bob Thieme. So I said, oh, this guy is the Thiemite, and he's out of Mississippi. But this morning, I had him on again. I don't have him listen to him. I have other things I tend to listen to in the shower in the morning. And you know what was interesting? When he started his message this morning, he was talking about being faithful and the Sermon on the Mount. And I thought, you know, I've heard something before, but then what I'd heard long ago is 95% good. He was pushing the Sermon on the Mount and salt and light and that kind of thing. And I thought, he needed to come to the forum. And it's just kind of ironic how God does things like that. I shared on evening school. I don't have it up here. Sandy had, Dale had one of my dad's leather-bound Greek Testament. Picked it up, had his name in the front, had the date he bought it, and there was a book stamp in the back. My dad tended to do that. This was so typically my dad. But I hadn't seen it. But I was thumbing through it. I was envious because I couldn't get one very easy. And I opened it up, and he had his book stamp in there. And this is addressed in Moses Lake, Washington. And there was a line through it. The street address and the city address. And then there was written in green ink, in my dad's interesting handwriting, the address was Golden Avenue, Celestial City. You know where his mind was. I hope we're that way. And I smiled. No, I was not going to say that. I was just blessed by these little blessings. Okay, read. Let's read. And I have it in the notes. I put the New American Standard and I'm mixing versions. I'm not necessarily recommending them. I'm doing it usually for a reason. I may want one word translated clearly so that we have it. Now where there is forgiveness of these things, and I think in the AV it's, well, I can tell. I've got it right here. There is remission. I think it's a word there. Of these things, there is no longer an offering for sin. Since therefore, brethren, we have confidence to enter the holy place through the agency of the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. Now, let me go ahead and look over at the AV because they've got a couple of translations that have confused people somewhat. And in verse 20, it says, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us. That is why I put the New American Standard in. They translated inaugurated. That is, it's a brand new kind of living way. He dedicated something new. Nobody that was in that Jerusalem church that was there before the work of our Lord Jesus Christ had a new and living way dedicated. It had to be dedicated later. And that's why I wanted to put this in these notes. And so God sent his son. And this morning, see, I get listening to these things, it gets in my craw. His plan of salvation was John 3:16, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved. Zero. That's a zero. Zero gospel. And I just felt so sad that I had to listen to that. Because I've heard more gospel of that in this last week than I thought I would. And I'll make the comment. I listened to all of Charlie Kirk's service at Memorial. And the Holy Spirit could have saved some people. Without a question. The gospel was given piecemeal. Sometimes the Secretary of Defense of the United States came the closest of anybody else. And I thought, wow. You know, the only thing that was missing in what he had to say, he left out the burial and it's not necessary. Burial is to prove he died, and resurrection. And I mean, I heard people say it sincerely, but left little pieces out. But you realize that that resurrection was included so often. That's where the hope was. That's why it wasn't a dismal funeral. That's why it was a celebration. I don't want to use the word somebody used in it, and they said it was a revival. But it was a celebration. And to tell the truth, I was blessed by it. I really was. And you have to be aware of some of the things that were, I caught a lot of, when I listen to theology all the time. I heard a little bit more Romans 10 than I want. But when I say that confession, got a little repentance in these places, and that, but still Christ was prominent. He belongs there, always prominent. So anyway, I know you wanted me to say that, to comment on it. I could go through almost every one of those speakers and talk about it. The sad part was the pastor didn't do a very good job of giving, you know, what needed to be. And I thought, what a way to start with not a real clean gospel. And it should have been better. Okay, meanwhile, back. Here we are in a new and living way that was inaugurated or dedicated. It's brand new. And we see that's our certificate that we've used. Again, here's Chris's. Guys, you're glad to see you, Chris. Chris used to have that hanging on her bedroom door. And I go in for evening school on Mondays and walk in and it's sitting right there in front of me. And I say, Chris, I hope, I'm in my mind, I say, Chris, I hope you're living there with that certificate. The best place to put it was right where you could see it. And that was fun. So I resurrected it, as you see, in that matter. Because it's so new and special. This new and living way is so unique. When now you can mature. Israel couldn't even enter their rest because they didn't believe. They had unbelief. They were not persuaded. And so it made a difference. That is why this is important to hear. And we relate to it. And I made a note in your notes on see, you have them on my outline underneath, and I'm not going to follow it very close. But I made a note in on the notes on 12. C1 has the definition. It's the first aristocratic indicative, once and for all, in this case. A new, and the word new is not a normal Greek word for new. It's a word that means to be freshly slain. Not new in kind or new in time. It means freshly slain. And what a beautiful picture when you see it tied to the work of Christ in this very verse. And it makes a huge difference. And it's a living way. The spiritual life. Living. Because Christ made it possible to live. I wanted to sing for some reason this week. And I've been going through my mind like music tends to. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because he lives, life is worth the living just because he lives. Resurrection life. I wish Bill Gaither had understood that he was writing about resurrection life. I don't think he understood it was resurrection life he was writing about. But that's a beautiful thing. Okay, let's go with some more lettuce. I think we're doing, we're not doing a mixed lettuce salad. I think we're doing a wedge salad. We have several wedges on it. My son taught me about wedge salads years ago, and I tend to like them instead of mixed salad anymore. And so we're doing the wedges, and we got about better than half of them. Let us draw near or approach with a true heart. That's the word for a sukkimai. That means to go toward, enter in with a pure heart. That's why I put Darby and King James together, because Darby translates as let us approach, and King James says let us draw near. I read draw near, I reverse translate, I use a different verb. But it has this idea, we are entering into facing. There's a pros in front of that. And again, I mark them for those who may not have been here. The verses in the notes are boxed with the word that we're dealing with, that the first verse is subjunctive, plural. And so let us come near. Let us enter in. Let us approach to face. Face to face. Proximity. Another song has been going through my mind is Face to Face. I shall behold him up there in the northern sky. I'm ready to get that little jump. I know that's not what the writer wrote, but that makes it a rapture song. And that's a beautiful thing. Face to face. Let us enter in. Let us move in that direction with our hearts sprinkled from a wicked conscience. From a Poneros conscience. The word for wicked here is that word for malignant evil. It's malignant. It catches. Conscience does that. In Christendom, there are many Christians that think conscience should be their guide, and they have a Poneros conscience because they don't realize that it catches. It's catching. And they have a conscience. Conscience is nobody's guide. Conscience is a fallen being's guide, as it were. It means you compare what you do and what you have, what you know. And if you have a conflict there, your conscience has a problem. You put them together, there's a soon. And when that happens, and if it's Poneros, it's like a disease. You go to churches, and I'll give an illustration very quickly. I've heard it. A lady was in a church, been divorced, married another guy, was in this church. The guy was, whether he's a believer or not, God knows. And they were ostracized in that church because she was divorced. That's a conscience issue. That's not the way you love one another. And conscience does that. Yeah, we look out for people with a weak conscience. I was talking to somebody one day, and they were making complaints about what somebody was saying, or what they said. They're being offended. And I said, well, I reminded the person who has a weaker conscience, has a conscience problem, is a weaker brother. Now, that was a bad thing to say, because I suspect very strongly that the critic was the one that had the conscience problem, and he would never, ever want to be called a weaker brother. The conscience. Use the word of God. Conscience is not good. Stick with Scripture. And so what I'm getting off the plane here. Being sprinkled of an evil conscience. Have it cleansed. Now notice it goes on our bodies washed with pure water. So let us get on board. Get in and keep your heart where it needs to be. And don't rely on your conscience, your heart. And Paul says, join me. I told you yesterday, we're creating some responsibility when we talk about these first-person plural and subjunctives. He's encouraging you to join him because he's already going to be doing it. I just keep seeing that soon juxtaposition over the idea of let us. Because we're together. And you do it with Paul. I would really love to be riding the train with Paul rather than a lot of Christians that are in the church today. Because he's a steward of the dispensation, has a right to use these subjunctives. Let us keep thoroughly in mind one another. That's Hebrews 10:24. Hebrews 10:24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. Now, I didn't really intend to stop at the end of provoke. There are sometimes people that like to provoke other people. They have that innate ability to stir people up. That's what the verb means. But he says, let us provoke one another to love and good works. Now, what's the word consider? I have some definition noted. Do I have it noted? Yes, I do. There it is. I'm sure I had it. It's kata noel. Kata is intensifying it. Noel is a verb for mind, and the use of the mind is from nous. In other words, intensely focus your mind on one another. It's not on yourself. It's not a reciprocal pronoun. I mean, it's a pronoun that has the idea. I mean, it's, did I say the wrong one? Alios. Anyway, on one another. And so he says, you focus your mind there. And so provoke one another or stir them up, incite them is the way it can be translated, to love and good works. Now, how does that work? The next verse tells us, not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. I ended up putting that verse in these notes twice because I was working different angles when I was working it. And I put Darby in both of them as well. Not forsaking the assembling yourselves together, as the habit of some is. Custom is the word habit. Of some is, but encouraging one another. The idea of encouraging means you come alongside and you give them, or you're like one called alongside, to press them a bit, help hold them up. The same word can be translated comfort. In other words, comfort you, they lean on you, and encourage means you lean on them. And I'm not being, don't carry that to an extreme, but encourage them. That's why you go to church, I hope. Because the idea is encouraging one another. There are people that say, you've been saved a long time. I'm confident that God saved me when I was a child. You realize in 2 years I would have been saved 80 years? That's not fair. I was saved, I'm confident my dad led me to the Lord when I was 5 years old. And you know, there is not a person in this room that doesn't encourage me because I observe you. Oh no, you can't be encouraged. I walked with the Lord a long time, but I need you. You need me too. We need one another. Don't forget that. Get on the bus. Get with saints. Show them what? Not to guarantee that you're not mature, that you're one of the mature ones. That's where it goes. That's how it works. And you stir them up because you can't stir them up very easily if you're not in with them. How can you incite somebody if you're not there with them? Okay, we're coming to one of these passages that is a problem. In my lettuce salad list that I found online, They have two of them in verse 12 of 12:1. In 12:1, I just say, "Let us run the race that is set before us," and it's a testimony to the act of faith and the removal of obstacles. Now, let's read it, and I did put the King James in. I did not mark it. I did mark it, but I marked it in a way you didn't suspect. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." You see, it says, "Let us" in your King James. You can follow the "let us" in the King James Version, and the reason that I have a parsing in parentheses is it is not a first person plural, it's a participle. In other words, it ties to the verb, but it's not a subjunctive verb. Now, it's okay to translate it that way, but it's not okay to put it on this list, because it is dependent upon a "let us" verb. Participles are dependent on the verb. And so he says, "Let us run," let's read on. "And let us lay aside the sin which he so easily does beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the Father." Let us run. Okay, what is the "wherefore" there, Gloria? Not often it'll be translated "therefore." Because chapter 12 follows chapter 11. Does that make sense? The "wherefore," and I did a prayer meeting series, boy, it's been a long time ago, on what the "therefores" are there for. And so this would be translated, can be translated "therefore." Chapter 11 is the chapter which is the gallery of the heroes of the acts of faith. It's called the faith chapter by some, but it's individual acts of faith. And so he says, "Wherefore, seeing you're compassed around with so great a cloud of witnesses," you have a whole bunch of Old Testament saints that have had single acts of faith. And you have a potential to walk by faith. Individual acts. That's why you've got Abram mentioned a couple times. Because he had more than one act. You think about that. And so we walk by faith. But there is an example. An Old Testament saint could focus on the law, on the Torah, and when they focused on the Torah, that focus would give them faith. But there were long periods of time often between an Eben and Abraham. I mean, even the ones that we would think of most as heroes, we have, he says, they're watching, they have individual acts, and we can be walking by faith. He said, "Let us run with patience." Upomene. Let us run. Okay, let's do one more thing. All of these we've been talking about now are present tenses. Let us continually run. A continuous action, present time. So hop on board with Paul. He wants us to hop on board. Because we're maturing and we hop on board, we join with him. He's encouraging us to do that and run with patience. Patience is hard. Seems like whenever I come to a forum, something goes wrong of some kind. Today I realized there were some things I had to get done before I came. My computer wouldn't start the way it should. It took me twice as long as normal to get some copying that I didn't know that I didn't have done. On that, if you buy an In Christ book. I usually put that In Christ chart in it, and I had run out of them. And so I needed to run them. So I'm trying to pull the document up, and the document took about five times as long. See, that is a good example of a challenge to patience. I had to be patient. And then all I could think of is, Microsoft is going to get me yet. And so when I went to run it, I had to run it with on the short to side run rather than long on double side. And I thought, it's going to do it automatically, do it the wrong way. It worked fine. I said, thank you, Father, of course. I did say thank you, Father, for the other stuff. But it was hard to say thank you. And with it, patience deals with stuff, with things. Things that get in our way and cause us issues. Macrothumia is the word what? Long-suffering. The long temperament of the mind, fruit of the spirit. Patience doesn't have to be part of the fruit. And the long holding out of the mind is with people. I can suffer you long. I trust you can suffer me long. And but patience, we've often used that. You need to be patient with him or her. Have you ever heard anybody say that? It just not, I'm not selecting the words well, but that's okay. Their intentions are all probably okay. But you have that continuous action. In fact, you have three participles that relate to this main verb. You just think, putting aside every burden or every impediment or every weight. You know, when you're college age, especially a guy, you look at the Bible and you want to find the athletic descriptions. Paul was a good athlete. He was involved with wrestling and running, and he seemed to be involved at the gymnasium. Gymnos is the word for gymnasium. Am I doing it? I'm teaching this to a mixed audience. No. Gymnos is the word for naked. And the gymnasium in the Greek society, when you were unencumbered, that's how you were unencumbered. You were naked. And so I don't think they had any problems with gender then. With that. And so there was guys in the guy's gymnasium. I'm not sure the gals even had one. But that's where that word comes from. It's kind of interesting. And so don't have a burden. And when he talks about it, I am sure that a lot of those old readers that were in Greece at least would think about the fact they were at school and they ran in PE, at least in PE, if not other places, without a strip of clothes on because they didn't want to be encumbered. I wouldn't want to play football that way. Looking away, having your eyes fixed on that intensity. The focus is on who? The author and finisher of our faith. See how that ties to chapter 11? He's the one that by our faith, and when we run by faith, we know that we're continually trusting in him, and he is the first of our faith. Did you know that Paul used that when we were in another verse yesterday? That's the ABCs, the RK. And that's where that worked. And then it says, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. And he's seated at the right hand. And you, as a believer, are positionally seated there with him. Forget it not. Don't forget it. We move to Romans 11. Let us have grace. Let us have grace to serve acceptably well in the heavenly tabernacle. We are in a kingdom that's a heavenly kingdom. I won't say every day, but almost every day, I am so thankful that my citizenship is not here. Philippians 3:20 makes it very clear. Our citizenship is in heavens, plural. First heaven, second heaven, third heaven, new heaven, heavens. You realize when this universe is destroyed, you're a citizen there right now in God's mind, in the new heavens. Think of that. That's how big your God is. He can do that for you. And so, and then let me read the verse, and I'll read the King James. I don't know why I put Darby in here. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom cannot, okay, I know. No, I don't know what. Which cannot be moved. Let us have grace. I made a box when I made these notes, and I put grace in the box, and it shouldn't be. The verb is have. It is not grace. Let us have. Let us possess. You don't have to go and work for grace because grace is free. You don't have to merit grace because grace is free. You have grace. And so he says, let us enjoy the grace we possess. If you use the law, you don't function in grace. And so this encouragement that Paul gives is saying, hey, don't forget you're in the dispensation of grace and join me as a steward in this grace. And so let us enjoy this grace that he had. Now, he's going to carry us on. I like these things because I write books about it sometimes. And the reason I like it here is, what does it say in the King James? It says, whereby we may serve God acceptably. You say, what are you talking about? I don't see anything about any books you've written. You know what that word serve is? It means to serve as a priest in the heavenly tabernacle. That's what it means. And so you have that opportunity to be serving, and there is another let us, and just a sec, that is also. That's where I see if I'd had my notes here, I would have known that. I'm reading the same notes you have on it. And so you have a second one, and it's listed on the chart. So let us serve God as priest. Well, do you want me to get up and start reading the 600-some page book? The priesthood book. Don't forget. I threw a couple more cases in. I hope we don't... I hope you take them, because I've got three cases in the car now instead of the six I had. And so anyway, being a believer priest, that's why that book's important. You realize down here you're serving in the tabernacle, the real one, not the representative one. You are in the heavenly tabernacle. You are a priest after the order of Melchizedek under the high priest whose name is our Lord Jesus Christ. And you're serving. That's why position is so important. You're serving him in the heavenly tabernacle, and you're in the Holy of Holies when you're functioning in your position in Christ. Can you get in a more holy place than at the right hand of God the Father? No, you can't. And so when you're at the right hand, I know Sam gets tired of me talking about the right hand. He talks to me on the phone, and I keep telling him, get on the right hand. And keep reminding him, see, I'm doing it again. The idea of being in that place in heaven where we have a position You can't get any, and you're functioning as a priest in heaven when you're doing that. Think of that. We can't overemphasize the right hand. People kind of are starting to get it when I say, I'll meet you at the right hand. It makes big sense. And I trust we've been meeting at the right hand. You know, I look around here and there's only one person in this room that I didn't know before this forum. But you know, it was funny. He didn't have any idea that I was meeting him at the right hand because I started praying for him on Sunday mornings when I pray for his mom and dad, David. Because when we pray in our morning services, we pray for Jesse and Jenny all the time. And when you got online, I heard more about you, David. And so, you know, you join on my prayer list. But I look up and down here and I say, oh, there are just so many, everybody in this room I pray for. And I meet you at the right hand often. And that's what it's all about. At the right hand in the heavenly tabernacle. And that's the focus. And he says, let us serve him. With what? With reverence and fear. With reverence and fear. Now, the word fear here is not phobos. It's not a phobia. It's not the kind of fear that Satan uses. It's reverence and timidity. It's not as strong a fear. With awe, eulabice. With awe and fear. The right hand. I don't think we should get too comfortable at the right hand, but I think we should be there so often that we are very comfortable. I better reconstruct that. And that is, when I say don't get too comfortable at the right hand, don't forget that we have that ongoing access, and we forget it and say, oh, I am in the right hand in my position. We don't avail ourselves of it. And it's got to get down here to earth in our heads here. So that's what I want to say with that. 13 of Hebrews, verse 13. Let us go outside the camp. In Hebrews 13:13 is our verse. But it says, wherefore also Jesus, that he might sanctify the people by his own blood, suffered outside the gate. He was not in the walls of the old city of Jerusalem. You go to Israel today, and you go to the old city of Jerusalem, you're not going into the walls that Jesus went through. There's an old song. It's a nice song. Maybe I ought to write some new words to it. I walk today where Jesus walked. If you walk over there in Jerusalem, in the old city, around the temple, you're probably about 20 feet above where he walked. Because there was, I mean, even down at the Wailing Wall, and they dug it down, you're still below that. And that was Herodian Temple, which was there when Jesus was there. The walls have been changed over and over. And he was taken outside of the wall and crucified on Golgotha. Do you know what the Latin word is for, where the Latin word carries over to ours? Calvary. You know that the word Calvary means this place of the skull? On Golgotha, he went outside, crucified with two thieves. And he did it for our sins and for us. And that reminder, he says, he went outside the camp. He was hated. They didn't want him near the temple because he considered him a criminal. And he says, let us go outside the camp. Go, let us go to him outside of the camp, bearing his reproach. Let us go out. There's prosukamai again. That's the reason I have a prosukamai charts in the back. And the yukamai chart. I mean, yeah. That's this is exurkamai. Not pros. Exurkamai, urkamai. And we go outside of. It's okay to be outside of. Now you don't have to go and get a buggy and fight with other Amish people over whether you have rubber wheels or iron wheels. And dress funny. You don't have to do that to be outside of the camp. You realize when you're living out the life of Jesus Christ, they see you as outside the camp. Kind of funny how they see that you're Christian and they don't just see it by your love. They see something different. Because if your head is with your position in Christ and it's a right hand, people are going to see something different. They don't know what it is. They have no idea. Because they're going to see it. And so this idea, I put notes in your notes that you have. They took the body, ashes from the sacrificed animal and they burn them outside the camp, the bodies that were sacrificed. I've got the passages in the notes so you can see them in that matter. And this outside the camp. Keep coming back to this subject of the priesthood of the believer. I can remember when I really understood Hebrews 13:15. Let us offer this sacrifice to God, of praise continually to God. I was doing that off the top of my head when reading my notes. The believer's response to the character of God for a benefit. Let me read it. I'll read it out of the King. In this case, I had a terrible time. I wanted to find a translation that you knew that had a correct translation, and I couldn't find one. So I'll read Darby just because I want to pick on him. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually to God, that is the fruit of our lips, confessing his name. You realize that word confessing is the only word different than the word in the King James. King James translates it giving thanks to his name. The King James has ruined a part of the positive communication of the grace believer by translating that word thanksgiving. It's the word homologeo, which is the word to confess. That means to say the same thing, to agree with. And so it's been over and over. You'll hear them defining, what is praise? Oh, it's thanksgiving. Or what is thanksgiving? Oh, it's got praise. They will mess it up. It's not very common for them to mess this up. And so it's confusion. I found that when I started teaching communication with God, when I first became a pastor, that it has turned some lights on for people, and many people have been totally mistaught in that. And as soon as they saw that distinction is in the Bible between praise and thanksgiving, they decided maybe they had to learn a little bit more about communicating with God. And then they found out there were 8 kinds of communication. But you realize this is one of the kinds of communication we have as believer priests. A sacrifice. We bring the sacrifice of praise to God. Every time you give praise to God, you're offering a sacrifice. In fact, you've got 3 of them here, and these 3 that are listed, he said, let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually, that is the fruit of our lips, confessing his name. But to do good, there's another sacrifice, and to fellowship, the word communicate means to fellowship, it's koinonia, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. How do you know they're sacrifices? It says so. It says so. You got three of them. Okay. You should be wearing those out in these last 2 days. Or this today, too. You have so much opportunity to share this, don't you? The praise. When you say, I thank you for whatever you've learned in these messages and for the diligence of those who present papers and for just a lot of things, you should be praising. Thank you, Father, for the benefit it's in the paper. But we praise him for his character and the benefit. So you get that benefit, and well, there are so many different kinds of good food downstairs when we have breaks or have lunch and dinner. You stop and you think of one that you say, well, I haven't had that for a while. I was really thankful for that. And then what do? Praise the Lord. No, you say, I praise you because you are so good. Mm. That was good and you're good. That's one way you go. You could go a different way when we are reminded of it. And so we offer the sacrifice of praise. It should be an automatic reaction. Anytime you thank God for a benefit he's done for you. Like this morning when my printer worked like it was supposed to and I could double side and fold, I said, thank you, Father. And I said, well, thank you. You're all wise God because you knew that would frustrate me. And so he was keeping me in the curves with that. And so that's how, so let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Get on board. I think Paul was a habitual praiser. I just think he was doing it all the time. I mean, you may stop and say, well, how often do I praise God? Well, maybe 3 or 4 times a day. Maybe as we grow and mature, we're finding out we're more heady. Our head's in the heavenlies. And we start saying, and next thing you know, we're doing it every 5 minutes because we're so thankful. We're thankful in everything, for all men, I'm missing one. Anyway, whenever you're thankful, you can praise God. And that gets your head where it needs to be, doesn't it? To know your God is who he is. And he's not just up there in heaven. Don't forget he indwells you. What it means to be a Christian is 3 and 3. And we're reminded of it. Hey, Courtney, I have permission to go 5 minutes long. No. On that. So we have gone now through these dozen occurrences. I skipped one because I skipped a possible one, I should say. It's not marked in your notes, I'm sorry. There's a textual problem and they make it a subjunctive. You know what happens? I was going to have a lecture in textual criticism. There is one papyrus document, a Bodmer papyrus from, they dated around 200, that has a reading that is not subjunctive. And what happens? Everybody else has a present tense verb with an indicative mood. And they took the one reading and put it in King James, and that's not supposed to be the case, and in every other translation. And it's there, but I will ignore it because we don't have time. Okay, so we've been talking about the lettuce and the lettuce patch, a great diet. It's a motivator. Now, if you don't think these are enough, you've got the chart in the back, and it has another 34 of them. Just don't forget the last two on that chart in the back. They're out of 1 John, and it says, let us love one another. And John says, get on board with that. That's so crucial. But we've been looking at these forms, and the idea is to get someone to participate and join with another person so they can be not I, but we. And do you want to be a part of the we, or do you want to sit on the sidelines? That is what often is, and that is exactly what was happening in Hebrews. The Hebrews believers were sitting on the sidelines and waiting for the train to come in, and they wouldn't get aboard. It was a big problem. These lettuces are so significant. And my conclusion, well, if you'd have been in Titusville, you would have seen the conclusion on three slides on that. Because that's I just put those in here. That's why they have the little marks on them. And so, let us. Let me make a suggestion if you haven't done it before. We go from the forums. I don't know what you do. I really don't. Whether you go home and study. Over the years in the forums, I'll tell you what has happened. There are people that have come here that have taken piles of paper. We've had as probably as many as almost 300 pages that we've handed out in forums. And they've gone home into their communities where they don't have much of a teaching ministry. They're in churches where they don't have much of a teaching ministry. There were pastors that actually took the papers and they studied them all year long. And it benefited those pastors' ministries, but it fed some sheep that didn't get enough food. These papers will do that. So let me suggest you look introspectively and see if you're on board in just these 12. Have you been on board? Have you gotten on board with Paul? Or do you need to? Maybe it's a good idea to think about it for, let's see, we've got 12. Let's go for 2 weeks and look at them and think about it. Make sure we're on board together. It would be just beautiful to know that those who are here that weren't on board on some of these things are on board and we're all on board at the same time. Okay, let's pray. I guess I should pray because this is the last of this message. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for these grammatical forms, and we can have a little fun with them, describe them in a little different way because of the way language works in English. But most of all, we're thankful for these awesome truths that give us a motivation to follow our steward in this dispensation. In Christ's name we pray, amen.